politics, life. Cross Kitchens, Kansas City's home remodeler, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at crosskitchenskc.com.
Boy, do we have some uncomfortable college basketball to talk about on this episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. We knew it was a weird-looking day going into the conference tournaments for KU, K-State, and Missouri, but didn't know it was going to unfold the way it did, especially for KU and MU. So we got a lot of strange things to talk about here on what was a very strange night. We had a big hailstorm in the Kansas City area with a little bit of hail here at my house, but not far from where I live, a massive hailstorm in Shawnee, Edwardsville, up K-7 toward I-70. And I just want to let you know here at the start of the podcast, this is exactly the reason why you keep Ron Buck's phone number in your contacts for Buck Roofing. If you got pounded with hail on Wednesday night, if you heard it and it was loud and you saw it on the grass around your house, call for a roof inspection now before there's a problem. It is a free inspection. I cannot promise you that if you mention the podcast, he's going to put you at the front of the line, but it will not hurt. And I think there's a very good chance they're going to get out today and take a look at your roof for you. Call 913-384-2680. That's 913-384-2680. To the east, there were torrential rains in Missouri. Didn't get a whole lot of rain in Kansas, but there were torrential rains in parts of Missouri last night. If you got pounded, even if you're outside the Kansas City area and you're concerned or you saw water spots or you have water coming in, call Buck Roofing. They will get to you and get you a free roof inspection right now. They have experts in their company that deal with insurance companies. If they see the hail damage right away, it will be an insurance claim. They'll call your insurance agent for you or with you and make sure that it takes care of the entire project from start to finish. Insurance covers hailstorms. 913-384-2680. 913-384-2680 for Buck Roofing. Wow, I saw some pictures Gary Lezak was tweeting out last night. Some friends that he has, that they were tennis ball sized pieces of hail, but they weren't round like a complete tennis ball. They were more like discs, or they'd hit the ground and flattened or chunked or whatever. But the width of them was the width of people's palms of their hands. Now, we had some here, and it's a weird sound when hail starts pounding against your gutters and roof and all the noise that it makes. It's wild, but we didn't get a lot. It was intermittent, but the ones that did hit were marble-sized and bigger. We had a couple of maybe quarter-sized, but we didn't get like a yard full. There was a wild picture last night at K-7 and I-70, which would be maybe technically Kansas City, Kansas. This would not be far from Kansas Speedway, where cars were pulling over and semi-trucks pulling over underneath the bridge and just clogging up the interstate because they were getting their windshields cracked by these giant, massive hailstones that were falling out of the sky. It was weird to see that. And then the photo on the ground, it almost looked like it snowed. There was so much hail all over the ground, it looked like that it snowed in some places. Now, obviously, this is very spotty and intermittent where these big hailstorms are. They're not as widespread as the storm itself where it may rain or whatever. We got almost nothing here. We got a little hail. We got very little rain. Storms came through in the middle of the night. We heard thunder and lightning again. Didn't get much rain, but some places got massive amounts of rain and some places got hail. If you're concerned about your roof, give Ron Buck a call. They're online at rbuckroofing.com. Well, it was doing anything but hailing buckets for the Kansas Jayhawks, who are in a bad way. Kansas might be the single most interesting team heading into the NCAA tournament. They're just really interesting because they still have the jerseys. They still have the Hall of Fame coach. They still beat UConn and Houston. I mean, they've got the best wins of anybody in the country and maybe the worst losses. They have a loss by 29 at Tech. They have a loss by 30 at Houston. They've lost four of their last five going into the tournament. They are 9-9 in their last 18 going into the tournament. And they've lost 4 of 6. They're 4-6 in their last 10. Recent play doesn't matter. If it matters at all, it matters little compared to what it used to. And I don't like that. I think recent play should matter more going into the NCAA tournament. I think they should go back to the way it used to be. A lot of people complained and said, well, some teams, veteran teams would be ready early. You have McCullough and Dickinson. You have old men on your team that you've paid money to come to your school. You got older guys and DeJuan Harris and some veteran players. You go out early in the year and you beat people. But Maybe your chart, your growth, your ability to grow as a team isn't as great when you have older players, and maybe that's a little bit of what happened to Kansas. For example, last night, the most important player for Kansas State was a true freshman, Day-Day Ames. They beat Texas. He started the last 11 games before not starting any, and his second half against Texas last night was the difference in the ball game. And he's a true freshman, and he's just coming on. Kansas State is clearly a better team right now than they were a month ago. I still wouldn't look at them and say, boy, that's a tournament team, but I'm watching a whole bunch of teams in the tournament looking at them going, that doesn't look like a tournament team either. Villanova looked absolutely awful on Wednesday night. Apparently they're in, K-State is out, K-State beat Villanova. Oklahoma apparently is in the tournament. They pounded K-State, but they're terrible right now. Texas is not playing particularly great. There's a lot of this happening in a lot of places. I do think how you're playing now should matter. I don't think it should be how you're playing this week. I don't think it should be that Kansas lost to Houston and then Cincinnati with two players out. But I do think if you look at Kansas and say, well, if they're 4-6 in their last 10 or 9-9 in their last 18, they shouldn't be a 3 seed. I don't believe that. I think Kansas belongs in the tournament. And I asked Jessica a question last night. She called me a conspiracy theorist. I said, do you think McCullers and Dickinson would not be playing tonight if the bracket came out and KU drew K-State? If the first round game last night at T-Mobile Center were K-State and not Cincinnati, do you think Bill Self would have played his guys? I think he would have if he could have. I think it's different losing to Cincinnati going to the NCAA tournament than playing K-State shorthanded. Reminder, K-State's been shorthanded all year. Their two best players didn't play at all this year. One by injury, one was basically booted from the program by the president of the university, who's now the leading scorer at Memphis over the last month. But KU is shorthanded, and I don't know. Self said after the game, McCullough definitely could have played last night. He didn't think Hunter Dickinson could have played last night. So I can't say to that. Now, if he's saying Hunter Dickinson couldn't play last night, that sounds the alarm for next week, that there's still some healing left to happen. I suspect it will happen. And they'll play, and depending on their draw and their seed and what type of an opponent they play, it could be a game. I mean, if Kansas is a 4 and they're, you know, playing a 13, it could be a real game. That could be a big school. It could be a team like a Texas. I don't know what Texas is going to be seeded, or Oklahoma or whatever. I don't know that a Big 12 team is going to be seeded 13th, but it could be a real team that they play or somebody that could beat them. Kansas was all over the map last night. They came out, they got knocked around, they fell behind and looked defeated. They're down 15 at the half, and they storm back and pull within 2, and you think they're going to win the game. They played great defense the first 10 minutes of the second half. I mean, considerably better defense than the first half, where it was just completely noticeable that Hunter Dickinson was not in the game. You know, we always look at the stat line, points, rebounds, whatever. Hunter Dickinson clogging up the middle for Kansas defensively makes them what they are when they beat good teams. It doesn't go noticed unless you're really just watching basketball. You have to watch the game. You can't look at the box score and see what Hunter Dickinson does. But boy, when he's not in there, Cincinnati just went down low and abused KU in the first half. They figured part of it out in the second half and did better. And then after missing a whole bunch of threes in a row, Cincinnati finally hit a couple down the stretch and pulled away from Kansas, and they win this game by 20. Where Bill Self emptied the bench and put his walk-ons in. It's the first time Kansas has lost back-to-back games by 20 or more since, what, 1919 or something? They lost to Missouri twice in a row in 1919 by 20 or more? I mean, these aren't Bill Self numbers that are going down now. There's all kinds of numbers going down with Kansas. It is the first 10-loss team that Bill Self ever takes to the tournament. Yes, they looked a little bit like the Chiefs earlier this year. You knew there was some greatness there. But this is too long of a stretch to have play where they're only good at home and nowhere else to say, okay, they could be the Chiefs in the postseason. Although Travis Kelce sat out the last game and Hunter Dickinson sat out this game, so maybe there's a similarity there. But there's KU firsts all over the place. And they're not good firsts. There's a lot of things going down here, and I've mentioned them. I think maybe the worst thing of all for Kansas, they joined West Virginia, which was clearly the worst team in the league. By losing last night, they joined West Virginia as the only two teams in the league this year that lost to all four new schools. Now, normally it's the other way around, and maybe it's unique to football and not basketball. I don't know. When you join a new conference, you get pummeled. That's just the way it works. We often cite Nebraska, as the second they joined the Big Ten, nobody in the Big Ten gave two flips that Nebraska was some football power. They just looked at them as a team in red and white uniforms and went out and beat their butt. They didn't have that stigma that they had in the Big 12, that swagger, that, uh-oh, we're playing Nebraska today. That never existed. That's never existed for Nebraska since they left. Not once, not one day has anybody lined up and gone, uh-oh, we're playing Nebraska today. They had that for 30 years in the Big 8 and the Big 12. 40, 50 maybe, 40. They had it forever. And it was just gone. That's not what Kansas did. This is teams coming into this league. But it's a completely different league, and they did bring in some basketball schools. Houston, obviously, is a basketball school. Cincinnati is a basketball school. Whether they'll get to, you know, top 10, top 20 status is unknown. Even shorthanded, Kansas probably shouldn't be losing to Cincinnati by 20. This says a lot about the roster Bill Self has built. We've asked the question this year, is basketball changing too much and Bill Self's health and lifestyle and everything changing too much for him? The way he's coached through the years, is that a way you can't coach anymore? They did sign the biggest free agent in college basketball, and they went out and got him a $2 million center. And what I saw on Wednesday night leads me to believe if they hadn't signed Hunter Dickinson, KU might not be in the tournament this year. They might have missed without Hunter Dickinson. And I can't explain that with the rest of Bill Self's rosters. There's no explanation for this unless he isn't playing the game everyone else is. And yet he did. He went out and bought Hunter Dickinson. He was a high bidder. They were so excited when they got him. And yes, they had to outbid everybody to get him. But what if they didn't outbid him? What if Bill Self didn't have the money or somebody didn't say, okay, go. What if they didn't sign Hunter Dickinson this year? What would this season look like? And can Bill Self coach these players the way he's always coached them in the past? There's no more ripping them out of games and punishing them and putting them on the bench and doing all this other stuff. There's none of that. It's been wild. These last two games, I've never seen anything quite like it. Kansas looks to me like a team that will probably go out and win their first game by 12 to 15 points in the tournament, full strength next week, and have a battle royale on their hand in their second. But again, if their guys are healthy, Kansas has proven that when whole, they can beat anybody in this tournament. You cannot count them out. You cannot count out this coach. But my God, the confidence is really missing. Bill Self said, we're aiming the ball. It's like we're shooting at the fair. He said, you know where they have those milk jugs? Try to shoot it in there, the ball won't even fit in there. Self said, it will go through the hoop. Quote, balls can actually fit through, he said after the game on Wednesday night. We got to get our swag back. We got to stop aiming it. We got to start shooting it. And they're not doing it. They've got a week to do it. And would it have been better? Would it have been a great confidence boost for KU to go out and win last night without their two best players? Absolutely. You want to win. You want to keep playing. But a week of practice right now, if they can get Dickinson on the court by Sunday or Monday for a couple days practice before the NCAA tournament, would be a really good thing for Kansas. This has just been wild to watch what's happened to them. Mizzou's inexplicable. And I know K-State's the good news. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But Mizzou is just, you can't, when you stack these stories for a podcast like this, it really goes in order of eye-opening. Like Kansas doing what they're doing is eye-opening. But my God, Missouri just went 0-19. They led by 7 with 3:40 to go last night and never scored again. You can't make up the way Missouri has lost. As bad as they were without scoring again and just getting total collapse slaughtered by Georgia down the stretch, they still had a shot with a handful of seconds left, a wide open three for Carter, and he clanked it. It was one of the ugliest late collapses you've ever seen, and it typified Missouri's season where they went 0-19 in the SEC. Dennis Gates was, there was too much promise last year. There's too many recruits coming in. There's no trigger pulling here, but this is absolutely wild. This is almost as wild as Kansas troubles because it was completely unexpected. You could have seen a scenario before the start of the year that if Missouri played 19 games, you could even see a scenario where they went like 7-12 and missed the tournament. And you went, oh boy, that wasn't a very good year. Because that can happen to anybody. 0-19? Wow. Dennis Gates is squarely on the hot seat. Kansas State, down 10 at the half. They win 78-74. They did a lot of it late with free throws. They had the lead. They were up 7. They had the ball one time with a chance to go up 10 with just 4 minutes to play or whatever. Texas made every shot down the stretch, forcing K-State to make all their free throws, which they did, basically. Kansas State scored 49 points in the second half. That's the most for any half this year. And they held Texas to 29% field goal shooting, which was phenomenal. Kansas State only had 3 turnovers in the second half. That was the lowest turnovers in the second half of a game all year. They only had 10 for the game, which tied them for their best game this year. That's very strange. What's killing Kansas State for getting in the tournament? They've beaten Iowa State. They've beaten Kansas. They've got some good wins. They're not short of good wins. What's killing them in the NET, the net? 7 overtime wins. Those don't count like regular wins. The computer flags you for winning in overtime. They don't like those. Like, apparently you get half a tie, half a win. I'm not really sure how that works. But it is apparently worse to have 7 overtime wins than to do what Kansas has done and lose 4 of your last 6 or go 9-9 in your last 18. They don't care about that. They look at the entire season as a whole when it comes to wins and losses. But overtime wins, you get penalized for. You get held back. Right now, Joe Lunardi has 3 teams in front of Kansas State making the NCAA tournament. I think if they beat Iowa State on Thursday night, I think Kansas State's going to find their way in. Because it's just a really weak field. And there's a lot of teams out there that are dreadful. And if you finished your season, if you're Kansas State and you finished your season, they'll have won like 5 of 6 at the end or something like that. Well, they'll lose their last game if they don't win the tournament this weekend. So it's not exactly right. But if they won this, that Iowa State twice, which was a top 10 team, and Texas, which is a tournament team, that's pretty good. A loss at Allen Fieldhouse and the win before that, I think, was a decent win. I remember exactly which one it was, but they had a good win. So I think Kansas State has a chance here. I don't think they're beating Iowa State. It's not the home game. It might be a little bit more of a road game, in fact, than a home game. I think there's going to be more Iowa State fans at the game Thursday night than K-State fans. But we'll see. They've gotten themselves into the discussion, and I guess we'll see. Crazy. Tyler Perry had 21 for the Cats as they played well in the second half, which they did against Iowa State on Saturday. Maybe they're a second-half team. Day-Day Ames, the freshman, is going to be a really, 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 really good player at Kansas State. If Jerome Tang stays and Day-Day Ames stays, they're going to be really good. I think the question a lot of K-State fans are asking right now, has Jerome Tang now done enough to get somebody like Louisville to be interested in him as the head coach? Because Jerome Tang does not like the president at K-State. And he's been threatening to leave, and will Louisville hire him? Louisville wants Scott Drew at Baylor, and I don't think Scott Drew's leaving Baylor. So maybe the thought is the next best thing for Louisville, because they like what Baylor has done, is Jerome Tang. Can they sell him to their fans if he misses the tournament this year? That's a very tough sell. But he's done some things here down the stretch that have led you to believe that, you know, the team has improved and gotten better and whatever. We'll see. I have no clue. I get no inside sources. I know Jerome Tang is very quickly got a big head and believes he's in charge at the school. And if he doesn't think they're going to kiss his butt the way it should be kissed at K-State, he's going to leave if he has an offer. So we'll see what plays out. KKHI is brought to you by Window World, simply the best for less. Lifetime warranty on doors, siding, and of course their famous windows made in America. They're online at windowskansascity.com, or you can call this number. This is where you reach the office in Kansas or Missouri. They've got offices in Lenexa and Independence, 816-799-0820. You may have broken windows from hailstorms last night. If you do, make this call today. Window World. You may have water came in with the torrential rain through your windows. Call Window World. WindowsKansasCity.com. 816-799-0820. Again, they'll work with your insurance company. If it was hail, if you've got storm damage, they can help you out. Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, pretty much anywhere. Call them. They'll come to you. Window World, 816-799-0820. It's all about your home at KKHI. Back 9 Development is interested in building you a new home. As a custom home builder, if you would be considering a new piece of land or you'd like one of theirs, in Lansing, where they've got over 3-acre lots available at the Dunes in Lansing, a great place to get out of the city and move to a little more conservative area. TJ Vilkanskas could build the home of your dreams right there or any place you have for him. Call TJ from back9development.com at 785-236-0161. And Amazing Garage Floors. My man Hutch is up and at it this spring. He's ready to give you the garage floor of your dreams or seal your driveway. I'm getting a lot of emails from some of you about sealing the driveway. Yes, make the call. Call right now. I was at my mom's apartment complex yesterday visiting her, and we decided to sit outside because I had Cabo with her, and they got a new policy because somebody's got an unruly dog. They don't want me to bring little Cabo inside to the common areas, which hasn't been a problem for 5 years, but now it's supposed to be verboten. So we sat outside. There's some tables out there, and their sidewalk where these old folks come out of their apartments and go to their cars and whatnot, the sidewalk is completely pocked. It's only 5 or 6 years old. It's completely pocked. They've thrown the wrong stuff on their sidewalks. They have ruined their sidewalks. So it was never sealed, and then they threw real salt on there and not concrete-friendly type stuff, and that's what salt will do to your concrete. The city throws salt on your driveway. They don't care if it's friendly for your concrete or not. They just throw the worst possible chemicals, cheapest stuff down, and destroy everything, and the concrete sealer does a wonderful job adding years of life to your concrete if you call Amazing Garage Floors at 913-901-7139 online at amazinggaragefloors.net. All of our sponsors are at the KK list. I still get emails every day. What's the name of the sponsor? What's his phone number? It's all at thekklist.com. If you've forgotten any of them and you want to support our sponsors, I cannot thank you enough for that. I've put them in one convenient spot for everyone. thekklist.com. thekklist.com. They're all right there at your disposal, and they want to earn your business. They don't expect your business. They want to earn it. All right, so a really cool golf tournament is this weekend. You know, the big one's the Masters. It's still 4 weeks away. But the Players' Championship is this week, and they kind of go in succession. There's one big golf tournament a month for about 4 or 5 months. And for most people, that's golf season. It's not the other one-off tournaments. It's not PGA Tour versus LIV. This is a PGA Tour-sanctioned event. It's the Players' Championship. It's the TPC Sawgrass, the famed Island Green. This is so much fun to watch on television. And I cannot wait to watch the Players' Championship. I can't. But it won't be the same without many of the best players in the world that are over on the LIV Tour and not playing in this thing. This tournament has a chance by Sunday to have 5 or 6 leaders at the top of the board, players you have never, ever heard of. And it will not feel right. This is, and the PGA Tour and LIV have decided they're going to work together, but they are taking forever. They've decided nothing. They've decided nothing. And Justin Thomas is playing well. Rory McIlroy is playing well. There's some big names that are playing well that will be in this, but they need him at the top of the leaderboard. Hideki Matsuyama is playing well. They need them in this tournament. This tournament got moved around. 1 year it went to May. The course got burned up by May in Florida, so they've brought it back to March. This is a good weekend. When they first brought it back, it was up against the NCAA tournament for the first week. This is much better. It's up against the conference tournament and Selection Sunday, so they're not really up against any March Madness. This is going to be a real gauge what kind of television ratings the PGA Tour is getting since their fracture with LIV Golf. This will be a true gauge. There will be nothing fake here. There's not a lot on this weekend. Sunday afternoon, people should be watching this golf tournament just before the Selection show. It's just sitting there for the PGA Tour. This is their course. The players own and operate it. It's the coolest clubhouse in the world. The Island Green 17 is maybe the most famous hole in the world. Most traditional golfers would say somewhere else, the 18th at Pebble, you know. But, you know, Augusta's so famous, you have to pick a hole that's the most famous. Maybe most people would say the 12th, Redbud. I don't know, but there's so many iconic holes there. The most famous hole in the world. Maybe it's the road hole in Scotland. It could be this, the 17th at TPC. If their ratings suck this weekend, they're toast. This is a huge weekend for the PGA Tour deciding its future. No doubt about it. The buzz out of spring training this year in Major League Baseball is that spring training is too long. I think I agree with that. Let players come in if they want. I think I'd be in favor of veterans, your 40-man roster, reporting 2 weeks later. If they want to come early, they can. Start your spring training games with minor leaguers. People will still buy tickets in Arizona. It's a big city, and Florida. They want to see uniforms playing baseball. They like sitting out there having a hot dog and a cold beer and watching baseball. It's not that everybody's going to spring training games to see the major league players because they're not all playing. Like, I feel like Bobby Witt has played almost none so far in spring training. Like, none. The pitchers go out there, they throw two innings. Okay, is that what you bought your ticket for? People go because they go. I don't think they'll get a giant fall off. They don't have to reduce games. In fact, they could do more split squads if they wanted. I don't think there's a revenue issue here. The baseball season's gigantically long and notoriously a grind for these players, 162 games. I got no problem. Of all the things the players negotiate and don't negotiate in their collective bargaining agreements, I think that's one I do. If I'm on the 40-man roster, I get to wait 10 more days than everybody else or 2 more weeks than anyone else. Does Salvador Perez really need to be out there this long doing all this? I mean, it's still 2 weeks from today until they start. Do they really need all that time? Or is it just something the owners have traditionally done? I'd be in favor of the players shortening for the veterans, not the young guys. The young guys should be there working, the minor leaguers, trying to get better and do whatever. And the coaches should all be there looking at the young guys. It almost should be developmental. But the 40-man, I got no problem. Bounce them back 2 weeks. Bounce them back. I got no problem. There are a lot of guys out there complaining that 2 more weeks of the offseason be great. These guys come to work in shape now. It didn't used to be that way. Spring training was designed because back in the day, they smoked, they drank, they philandered, they ran around, they got fat, and everybody came to spring training to lose 15 pounds before the baseball season started. That's not the way the world works today. You don't make it doing that. So I'm cool with that. The Royals announced Bo Jackson is going in their Hall of Fame this year. That's a great call. I'm good with this. Most people believe baseball and Hall of Fame is all stat-driven. Bo Jackson didn't play that much baseball. He didn't rack up that many stats. What kind of Hall of Fame do the Royals have if Bo Jackson isn't in it? Remember, it's a Hall of Fame. Not necessarily a Hall of Achievement. It's a Hall of Fame. I like that. How does Bo Jackson not fit in? Can you believe this will be the first player going in a decade? Mike Sweeney was the last one in 2015. Folks, they're going to be coming fast and furious. The Royals have some World Series champions that have been out of the game. This will be their third or fourth year out of the game. So they're coming. They're right around the corner. They're coming, and there's going to be a bunch of them. Royals Hall of Famers, there's going to be at least 8 from the 2015 World Series team. At least 8. At least. I'm just throwing off the top of my head, and I'm not thinking of a ball. I mean, all 3 closers, right? HDH, Salvi, Moose, Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain, Dayton Moore, Ned Yost, one after another. That's 8. That's 8 or 9 right there. There might be 10 from the 2015 Royals. So they're coming, and they're coming fast and furious. And won't be long. Ned Yost will be up. Eric Hosmer's now retired. There'll be a bunch of them. Alcides Escobar, maybe? Yeah, maybe. We'll see. That's going to be interesting. But it's weird. They've gone almost a decade, which really speaks to how bad the Royals were for how many years before they did that winning. And Bo Jackson is now in. Congratulations to Bo Jackson, one of the biggest dicks I ever covered. Wait. I should edit, but I'm not going to edit that out. One of the biggest jerks I ever cut it. I didn't want you to think I was making a mistake about anatomy or anything like that. What am I doing with this podcast right now? Bo Jackson, at the height of his fame, was one of the biggest jerks you ever met. After baseball, one of the nicest people you could be around. It happens. It happens to most of them. It's just part of the deal. And baseball players were the worst. They were the meanest, worst, most despicable guys on a day-to-day basis. Not all. I start digging a hole if I start naming exceptions. Mike McFarlane, Kevin Seitzer, Jeff Montgomery. There's all kinds of guys that were just really good. Danny Tartable was actually a pretty good dude for all of his issues that he had. There were some good dudes. But a lot of them just get giant. Kirk Gibson was a complete pain in the ass. George Brett was awful most of the time. Most of the time, George Brett was awful to deal with the media, unless you were just like his boy. Bo Jackson was incorrigible, just terrible. One of the nicest people you'll ever meet anywhere in Kansas City. Nobody says a bad word about this man. Sweetest guy, Mike Boddicker. When he first came in, they're like, oh, Iowa farm boy, wants to come to Kansas City, get out of the limelight of the East Coast, all this. Couldn't have been ruder to the media. Just didn't want any part of anybody in the media. Just get away from me. It's crazy. News today is brought to you by our friends at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Hey, they got it on right now. Brand new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500. Save over $10,400. It was $40,040. Now it's $29,625. A Chevy Silverado under 30 grand. Together, let's drive with Chevrolet at Roberts Robinson. Chevrolet GMC, online at robertsrobinson.com. And build your own, if you'd like, at Roberts Robinson, the official car dealer of KKHI. MyPillow.com, now at the half-price Giza Dreams sheet sale. These are awesome sheets at a very, very low price. They're every bit as good as the MyPillow, which is probably now the biggest, best pillow in the world. The Giza Dreams sheets are phenomenal. Call 800-923-9034. If you call the 800 number, you don't have to use the promo code. That's my phone number. 800-923-9034. Many of you don't like to log on and do it that way. If you want to order something from MyPillow.com, feel free to call the number. Again, 800-923-9034. Or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code KKHI. For anything on site, you get the maximum discount using promo code KKHI. And Advantage Termite and Pest Control loves it when you call them and say, you know, Kevin said I should probably switch my pest control company. It's true. These are great conservatives. They're great people. It's a great family-owned business. They're everything we love about America. A family starts a business, this generation. They're, like, the last dude that came out and serviced our house was the nephew. He's like 19 years old, learning the business. There are many family members in the business that will eventually take this business over. Advantage Termite and Pest Control will be owned by the Wolcotts and being operated long after I'm dead and gone. This one's going to be a constant in Kansas City. They're so good at what they do. Make the switch today. Call AdvantageTPC.com at 913-768-8989. They're awesome. All right, so we saw this hullabaloo about TikTok, and the House passed a piece of legislation they want to send over to the Senate to, well, give the president too much authority to ban things. This is censorship. I'm torn on this. I do not know how I'd vote. A lot of senators are saying we don't know how we'd vote. I don't know how I'd vote on TikTok. They either want to ban TikTok or have 80% of it sold to something that's not Chinese. Now, if they can pull this off and get it 80% non-Chinese owned or a different version of TikTok that is TikTok America that is 80% owned by other interests than the Chinese communists, I'm for that. I don't believe in censorship, but I do believe in censoring Chinese communists from filtering, polluting the minds through their filter of our young people. And that's what this is. This is about fundamentally changing America. It's a little bit surprising so many Democrats are for banning this, but they liked this piece of legislation because it gives the president authority to ban things. They want to be a uniparty where they can just have a president that does whatever they want. So it gives authority to the president that I don't like. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't like it. I'm torn on this thing. But I don't like Trump running around saying Facebook is the enemy and China is not. That's not a good look for him. He's got a couple of terrible problems going on in his campaign. Don't bring up abortion, at least not yet. And for God's sake, Trump, as good as you are at this game, would you please stop talking about Social Security? Do not bring it up. If you want to clean it up after you win, clean it up. Be the guy. Take the heat. Fix it. It needs to be fixed. It's not sustainable. But don't say it needs to be fixed. Nobody says that and gets away with it. You will siphon off votes like you can't believe. Do not do this. Just do the hard work after you win. Don't talk about Social Security. Now he's out there defending what he says. Oh, I'll never touch anything. I'm just pointing out that it's broken. Well, shut up. Don't mention Social Security. Leave it out of every single speech. Don't do it. God, it's frustrating. He gets a four, he gets a 5-point lead in places, and he goes out and starts making friends with TikTok and wants to shut down Social Security and starts talking about abortion. Shut up. Ugh, what is he doing? Anyway, his former Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, who's wealthy, he's got a $500 million, $500 million heir, founded a company called One West Bank. Mnuchin is putting together a group of billionaires to buy TikTok from ByteDance and China. But most people say they're not going to sell. Why would they do that? There's something bigger here for China. They've got America on the ropes. They've made inroads with their propaganda. They're controlling the minds of young people and force-feeding them stuff they want to feed them on TikTok. They're gathering information of every young person, and as they own TikTok over the decades, they will know every single thing about every single person in the United States. They're playing the long game here. They've been doing this for a decade. They've been doing it with young kids that are now 30, 35 years old. But there's 14-year-olds on TikTok, and they're getting them too. They will know every single thing about every single person in this country in 30 years if something isn't done about this. So I'm for doing something, but the best thing would be buying it. Elon Musk could buy it. But apparently Steve Mnuchin thinks he can do it and put together a group of billionaires. But the smart people, the people in the know, and I could be wrong, maybe there's a price for everything. They say there's a price for everything. I don't think there's a price for political clout and information. And the Chinese have an inroads into the United States that they've never had before. And I don't think they're letting go of TikTok. I think it's going to have to wind up there. I think they're daring the United States to ban it. If a ban goes into effect, maybe they sell it then and the ban is lifted. But this stuff's above my pay grade, folks. It's interesting because I normally have a real strong opinion. I'm just watching this unfold in real time and I'm interested to see how it plays out. I know this, it can't continue the way it is. It can't. But it also couldn't continue the way it was with all our social media. Elon Musk buying X was a giant, giant step. A lot of headlines with Nick Saban. Oh, no. Wait. One more thing. One more thing related to Trump before I get to the what happened on Capitol Hill. It's not Nick Saban related, but it's very interesting what happened with this NCAA stuff. Oh, the Trump cases. The judge in Florida, in Georgia, threw out six of the cases against Trump. Six of the charges. Threw them out. Fani Willis, we're expecting something maybe today or tomorrow on whether or not she can continue in that. All I know is an analyst, the legal analyst on MSNBC said on Wednesday, they believe it's a house of cards and it's all over in Georgia. We didn't even get to summer. Forget getting the election. The legal analyst on MSNBC said, now this whole thing's falling apart. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. And the people that took pleas might be able to go back and get their pleas rendered useless as well. Some of Trump's aides that took pleas in Georgia just to get it over with. An MSNBC legal analyst, a liberal, said, yeah, no, this thing's falling apart. It's a house of cards. It's pretty much toast. So six charges already tossed out. There's more charges, but Fani Willis can't continue. My mom keeps saying, well, how do you know this judge isn't like that Engoron and in on it? Well, this judge has a future. There is an election this year. There is an integrity issue. People saw this thing happen in real time. And at some point, this judge could always go to private practice and say, I did the right thing. Now I'm going to go work for a private law firm. I mean, come on. We expect our judges to do the right thing. These cases aren't close. These Trump cases should be thrown out. The Mar-a-Lago case is not even a criminal case. They're charging it as a criminal case. That's a civil case. There's no question. The president of the United States has authority to take any documents he wants, anywhere he wants, while he's president. And there is nothing in dispute that these documents were taken when he was president. It's a civil case with the Presidential Records Act. It's not even a criminal case. They're trying to charge it criminally. It should just be thrown out. It's not a crime. It's not a criminal crime for a president to do that. Is it a civil crime? It's arguable. Let's have that case. Do you want to fine him? That's all they're doing is civil suits. Oh, he came after you in a ladies' room 40 years ago at a department store nobody's ever heard of. Oh, his businesses took out loans that the bank shouldn't have given him, even though he paid them off. $380 million in fines. Civil cases. This stuff's a joke. It's all a joke. It's all unraveling on the Dems. Everybody can see it. But when you have legal analysts on MSNBC saying the Georgia cases are almost over, that this thing's just, it's a house of cards, it's a nightmare, It shows you how dumb they were to begin with. And they call these things, they always call them right-wingers, right-wing conspiracy theorists. 91 indictments of Trump, they think it's all a conspiracy. Yes, that's exactly what a conspiracy is. It's a group effort of people all over the country conspiring together against one person to get them in trouble. It's 91 indictments. Let's see if we can just get him on one. One. That's all it was. There's no conspiracy to that. It's fact. These are all BS, and everybody knows it. But to hear an MSNBC legal analyst say it's done in Georgia, this thing's cooked, it's about to fall apart, was just too good to be true. Okay, I mentioned Nick Saban. He did his thing on Capitol Hill. It's not what this is about. Over the course of this, as they've had inquiries and asked things of the NCAA, there was a question from Senator Mike Lee of NCAA President Charlie Baker. And it was about transgenders in the NCAA. The policy is trans are okay. That's the NCAA stance because the presidents want it that way. Look, if you really want to know why the NCAA is going to disband and go away, it's because the liberal presidents run it. The way they think, the way they do business, and the way they operate doesn't work. It's never sustainable. Socialism and liberalism are not sustainable. They collapse. That's what's happening in the NCAA. So Mike Lee from Utah asked Charlie Baker, how much research have you done about the effect of transgenders playing in women's sports, both physically for the athletes, emotionally for the other women that compete in the locker room? Has a survey been done? Have you asked the other women what they think? How bad is it costing actual biological women scholarships? Is that an infraction of Title IX? I mean, there's a lot of things in play here. And the president of the NCAA responded to Senator Lee, quote, "The NCAA has not conducted any research related to current transgender policies." What? You haven't even asked the question, are we doing the right thing? Let's study this a little bit. Folks, that's the biggest story you're not going to hear anywhere else this week. The NCAA hasn't even asked the question, are we doing the right thing with our policy? They're not even asking the question. They haven't even said to one school, hey, can you guys take your little group over here, your brainiacs, and do a little study for us? You know, maybe interview a couple hundred female athletes around the country, get their thoughts on this, do a study on injuries, just crunch some numbers for us and get back to us. No, nothing. 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 It's just in place because we live under a rainbow and we love the rainbow people and we're also accepting and we don't care if women are losing scholarships. Which for generations, they told us that's what Title IX was just for women. It's not. It's for all genders and equality. But now, biological men are taking scholarships from biological women. And that doesn't seem right. Maybe we need to rewrite Title IX and say biological men and biological women. Ooh, now we're on to something. Now we're talking. Oh, here's the greatest idea I've ever heard of, and I can't wait. I hope I live long enough to see this happen. Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors says he wants to run for president, maybe. Not in 28. That's too soon. But down the road, he wants to affect change. He's a Kaepernick guy. He's a giant lib. Bring that spit on, Steph Curry. I hope you do run. If you do, better yet, your ego's so big, and you have so much money, and you're so great, and have such a big following, which is where athletes live at the height of their prime. This is where they live. Then they get out there after sports and they're like, wow, people don't think as much of me now that I'm not shooting a ball. I'm just a rich guy out here. You know, when you get out there and you're doing that, keep your ego right where it is now and start your own party, please. How about you and LeBron start your own party? That'd be perfect. The athletes party, Black Lives Matter, whatever, all these things you've supported, anything. The Rainbow Coalition, I don't care what you call it. Start your own party, Steph. You and LeBron, after basketball, start your own political party, please, for God's sake, and put somebody on the ballot in all 50 states every single year. Do that for us. Do that for us. Republicans would win every single election if they did that. All right, our final today is brought to you by Finch Knife Company with their newest design, the Hellfire, available at finchknifeco.com or Shields in Overland Park. Keep life from getting dull with a Finch pocket knife online at finchknifeco.com. Advanced Medical Imaging online at medimageks.com. I got a new slogan for them. It's where the doctors go to get a scan when they can't get a scan at their own place. It is true. MedImageKS.com is the place to visit. 785-856-0224. Advanced Medical Imaging online at MedImageKS.com. All the sponsors are at the KK List, including Amini's 105th and Metcalf, big outdoor sale, 0% financing for 72 months right now at Amini's 105th and Metcalf and online at Amini's.com. Folks, it's Pi Day. Do you remember studying in school where 314 was pi? I don't. It's a numeric. I've forgotten exactly what pi is. You guys are going to think I'm an idiot, but I was not a great. This is not what I did in college. I broadcast games and wrote stories and covered things and became a journalist. And pi is not my thing. But I know I've heard of pi. I can't define it for you. I could read it off a piece of paper and sound really smart, but I'm not going to do that. 314, the significant numbers of pi, pi, pi. So 314 today is Pi Day. There are pizza specials and some pie specials all over the country. 7-Eleven has like real size pizzas for $3.14 today. Little Caesars is doing the same thing, $3.14. Taco Bell has a Mexican pizza for $3.14. But all around Kansas City or where you live, if you have a favorite pizza place, call them and ask them, what's your Pi Day special? Most of them are really good, and it's, you know, buy one, get one for $3.14 or something for $3.14. Some of them are just outright. I've heard of a lot of places that are buy a $50 gift card for $25. That's going around. I think there's a collection of pizza restaurants in Kansas City that today only are offering $50 gift cards for $25. That's a pretty good deal because they figure they're going to sell enough pies today. They want to sell the gift cards. So you'll come back another time when they're not as busy. That's pretty smart. Gift card retention is not 100%, so they're going to make money on the deal. Ask. It's pie day. I think I'll have some pie today. Pizza pie. That sounds pretty darn good. Folks, I enjoyed this one. Hope you're enjoying the hoops this weekend and the great weather that we've been enjoying. I can't thank you enough for listening. Hitting the like and follow button. And if you'd like to become a patron, go to kksissues.com. We'd love to have you at our patron party 2 weeks from this today, 2 weeks from today, the 28th, for the Royals opening day watch party with the patrons of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.